afternoon, everybody. This is Dorothea for Lutz and Bites. You are currently listening to the beautiful ukulele sounds of a lovely song called Song for Sherry. So just enjoy that, and we'll be back in a second to talk about some books. A little ukulele music. You don't hear a lot of ukulele music usually. And I don't know if it's necessarily appropriate for the program that I'm doing today, but here you are. Today, the books, we're just going to be reviewing two books. One grown-up book, which I think is entirely appropriate. Last night we were at the theater watching The Da Vinci Code. I'm just going to leave that alone and shut my mouth. But what was interesting was the trailers and seeing Judi Dench, who is going to be starring as M once again in Casino Royale, which will be the newest James Bond movie with the newest James Bond. And he's looking pretty hunky. What can I tell ya? In any case, Judi Dench has been in the role of M since 1995. And what the book that I'm reviewing is by John Miller. Judi Dench with a Crack in Her Voice, Revised and Updated Edition. I really enjoyed this biography. I don't enjoy all biographies because, you know, it's like, oh God, how boring. You know, but, you know, I really love Judi Dench. I'm a very, very big fan. And, you know, so when I saw this book, I thought, ooh, okay, there we go. And it's a very well-written biography. A couple of places where it talks about all the various things that she has done. Currently, the chapter that I've got open here is 1970 to 1972, Marriage and Motherhood. Judi Dench has a one child, her daughter's name is Finty, which is kind of an interesting name. British names sometimes being a little bit unusual. Initially, they thought that Judy was having a boy, and they wanted to name him Finn. And that's where Finty comes from. Because lo and behold, surprise, surprise, and, you know, as you know, Judy's done a lot of Shakespeare and the best laid plans of mice and men. Come to a awry when we think it's a son, it's often a daughter. Anyways, I'm going to read a little bit from this book, but first, a little music, I think. This one is interesting. It's called Thumbelina's One Night Stand. Sorry about that, folks. Yeah, I like it. Thumbelina's One Night Stand.
Street breeds the stupid kind, the heartless never seem to mind. Grab the first one that you see and quickly let him go, then fall asleep at the wheel driving home. Seven beers to quench his heart and watch the princes fall apart before he stands up at the bar, pretends that he's the king of all those lovely messed up pretty things. Now my flushed expression has made your selection tonight. I guess I'm no different than you now. Yeah. Finish your last beer, then take me away from here. All they'll ever Tell me all that you've lost, and I will gladly pay the cost. When my investment starts to turn, you won't get away. Everybody has a price to
Hello, this is Dorothea back with you on Lits and Bites. For those of you that aren't aware, you can contact me if you would have a book that you would like to recommend or that you would like to have recommend reviewed or whatever. If you'd like to send me your own book review, I would be happy to have it. You can get in touch with me either here at the station at 884-2567. All of a sudden, I wasn't sure of the number. Anyway, you can get in touch with me here for the next little bit. Or you can reach me at Lits Bytes. That's LitsBytes at yahoo.com. And I would happily accept a book review or, you know, a recommendation or, you know, whatever. If you disagree with me, please let me know. Anyway, back to John Miller's book about Judi Dench. I found it a very engaging book. If you enjoy a good biography, pardon me, folks, then, you know, I really recommend it. Judi Dench sounds like a wonderful, absolutely delightful lady. It says here, and I'm going to read you a little bit of this, Judy's delight in sending up others is perhaps only exceeded by her pleasure in being on the receiving end. She particularly treasured a poem from John Moffat that came through the post one day during these rehearsals. Dame Judi Dench, known as Jude, was excessively vulgar and lewd. If she got no applause, she would shout, "Up yours!" to the audience, dreadfully rude. From the first act right through to the last, she'd insult the rest of the cast. She would sometime yell, "Balls!" to the orchestra stalls, and leave everyone simply aghast. The director said sadly, "Oh dear, Dame Judy's too vulgar, I fear. For the lead in The Seagull, I'd like Anna Neagle. What a pity she's no longer here." Sounds to me from reading the book that Judy really enjoys playing a little joke or two with her castmates and likes having a little joke or two played on her. I found really endearing, too, where her husband, at that point, her husband-to-be, Michael Williams, another well-known British actor, kind of followed her to Australia when she was on tour and ended up spending more and more time there than he'd initially really intended, and asked her to marry him there on the beach, and she informed him that, no, that simply wouldn't do. It was far too romantic, and that he should ask her again on a rainy day in Battersea. Apparently that's what they did, and they had one of those wonderfully well-known, happy marriages. So The book, Judi Dench with a crack in her voice. Oh, two thumbs up, three thumbs up. I may borrow somebody's thumb. Excellent book. Give it a read. And look for Judi Dench as M in Casino Royale coming out in November. And here we go. That last song, for those of you that really need to know, was Thumbelina's one-night stand, and the song was titled A Price to Pay. And I actually quite like this. Melissa McClelland, a nice Canadian performer. And up next is another interesting one, Bob Stark, Life on a Postcard. Give it a listen, and we'll come back and talk about the children's book, The Gifts.
There's a train whistle blowing through the heart of this town. Red lights flashing, the gate crossing comes down. Near a roadside campfire, drifting hobos around. He stares in the light at the end of the day. 20 pounds for the love nuts of ocean and moon. On a stroll on the shoreline, lay on a soft sandy dune. Where it's never too late, nor is it ever too soon. Find the light at the end of the day. Light at the end of the day. Where she showed him a photo and a poem she wrote of a faraway home about a heart that had been. Touching her so gently, he spoke about the light at the end of the day. Light at the end of the day. Light at the end of the day. Was love ever simple? Easy to please. She held him against her in the warm evening breeze. There was no sound at all to the first autumn leaves falling in the light at the end of the day. 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 Seasons of toil, reasons for leaving strong roots in the soil, pastures of plenty, even rainstorms won't spoil, to shine in the light at the end of the day. In the morning, one star's always unwilling to fade. Hard human bustle of the human parade. She's still dancing between the sunlight and shade. In the light at the end of the day. 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 There's a train whistle blowing through the heart of this town. Red lights flashing, the gate crossing comes down. Near a roadside campfire, drifting hobos around. He stares in the light at the end of the day.
Go kind of a lazy little song for a lazy little afternoon. I just discovered that, pulled that out of the new releases. Bob Stark, Life on a Postcard, and Light at the End of the Day. Yeah, that's a pretty little tune. Anyway, we are here to talk about books. The book that I have here is The Gifts. Ursula K. Le Guin. She wrote the Earthsea books, the Earthsea Cycle books, which were also made into a movie. And Rob and I saw. I liked it. It was better than I thought it would be, and I always enjoy being pleasantly surprised. This book, they're saying 12 and up. I disagree. I think the themes are maybe a little mature for a 12-year-old. Rejecting the gift. It's a queer business, making oneself blind. To cheat, to look one glance, only a glance. The temptations, of course, were endless. Every step, every act. That was now so immensely difficult and complicated and awkward, could become easy and natural, so easily and naturally. Just lift the blindfold, just for a moment, just from one eye. Just take one peek. The book, in essence, speaks of some children scattered among poor, desolate farms. The families of the uplands possess gifts. Wondrous gifts, the ability with a glance, a gesture, a word, to summon animals, bring forth fire, move the land. Fearsome gifts, they can twist a limb, chain a mind, inflict a wasting illness. The uplanders live in constant fear that one family might unleash its gift against another. Two young people, friends since childhood, decide not to use their gifts. One, a girl, refuses to bring animals to their death in the hunt. The other, a boy, wears his blindfold lest his eyes and his anger kill. According to the book, he has the gift of unmaking. So whatever has been made can be unmade by him. It's an immediately engaging book. Immediately engaging. You pick it up from the first sentence, you're hooked. Ursula K. Le Guin, an excellent author. I'm going to donate this book here at the station, and it's going to come up on the next pledge day. So if somebody wants this book on the next pledge day, it'll be theirs. And folks, that's the next little bit of music. Oliver Schroer, In the Garden of Birds and Flowers, and I'm out. It is almost 5:30, and it's almost time for me to leave you folks. So do us all a big favor. Take a moment. Read to a child. It's the best thing you can do. And have a great week. Here you go. ¶¶